This is
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
This is KUT Weekend for the fourth weekend of April 2020. Thank you for listening. I'm Jerry Quijano with KUT 90.5, the NPR station in Austin, Texas. Here's what we've got for you this week. A UT grad student is marooned in Dubai after COVID-19 travel rules stymie his return to Austin.
According to the regulations, you cannot step in U.S. soil if you traveled in China in the past 14 days. And the consulate is U.S. soil.
Construction in Texas is essential during the pandemic. Workers worry their health is not.
Anytime he moved or rolled over, like I was putting my hand on him to make sure he didn't have a fever or he wasn't sick.
And UT researchers say social distancing is working, but slacking off could put us on a catastrophic path.
Right now, we're doing a good job of slowing transmission, but there's still a lot of COVID-19 spreading in Austin.
Those stories and more in this edition of KUT Weekend. The top doctor at Austin Public Health says the number of positive cases of the coronavirus are still on the increase in Austin and Travis County. There are now more than 1,300 cases of the virus, and at least 31 people have died as a result of COVID-19 in the area. And Dr. Mark Escott says one of the reasons for that is increasing capacity for testing. He says a relatively high percentage of positive tests also reflect stepped-up testing.
At the same time, we are also following the hospitalized numbers. The hospitalized numbers are less prone to variability related to testing, and we've seen some plateau of that over a number of days. So I think for modeling and prediction of when we're going to peak, it's probably better based upon the hospitalized data, which is less based upon the testing and more reflective of the actual disease burden in the community.
Dr. Escott also said there is risk associated with pushing back the peak too long. He said there were issues last fall and winter with ICU and ventilator capacity before the new coronavirus. Escott is advising caution against antibody testing that is not approved by the Food and Drug Administration. He recognizes that limited availability of legitimate testing for the coronavirus may tempt people to turn to questionable sources for reassurance that they're not at risk. But he says many of these so-called antibody tests are of no value.
I think there's a great deal of fraud going on right now. I think the community should be very wary regarding the antibody testing that's currently being successfully marketed across the state of Texas. These antibody tests are not FDA approved and they are not accurate.
He says a better measure of the impact of the virus will be the number of people hospitalized. And as governors of some states, Texas included, are making moves towards reopening, Escott says measures to prevent spread of the coronavirus are likely to be with us for a while. As KUT's Trey Shah reports, it may take a year or more.
Dr. Mark Escott says he doesn't see how we can stop doing things like physical distancing and wearing masks until we get to the point of herd immunity. And he thinks the way we will get there is with a vaccine against the virus, something that's being worked on all over the world, but which will take time to get right.
We don't expect that vaccination to be available publicly at least for a year. So there's going to have to be at least some measures to continue that effort at decreasing rates of transmission in the community.
Dr. Escott said it's too early to know what can be open and how under the circumstances, but he said things like sporting events and music festivals would present substantial risks of transmission until there's an effective vaccine and or much more testing and contact tracing. Trey Shah, KUT News.
Social distancing and other precautionary measures appear to be working to slow the spread of COVID-19 and to prevent a burden on the hospital system in Central Texas. But researchers at UT Austin say easing up on that right now could put the area on a, quote, potentially catastrophic path. The UT Austin COVID-19 Modeling Consortium is evaluating data daily and projecting everything from when deaths might peak to how grocery shopping impacts the local COVID-19 landscape. Lauren Ansel Myers is a professor of biology and statistics at UT Austin and leads the consortium. She talked to KUT's Jennifer Staton last week via Zoom about recent data showing that, at least for now, the hospital system can handle the number of cases because people are successfully social distancing and the spread has slowed. But she stresses this could turn on a dime if people slack off.
So the projections for the Austin Round Rock area have shown and continue to show that this virus, COVID-19, will spread extensively through Austin, causing hospitalizations, causing deaths if it goes unmitigated, if we don't take measures. However, we know that since March 24th, when the stay home, work safe measure was enacted, that people are adhering pretty extensively. People are not going to the work unless they're in an essential workforce. They're staying home. We've been updating our estimates for the effect of those measures on a daily basis. Our estimate is that social distancing has probably reduced transmission by over 90% in the Austin Round Rock area. If we only achieve an 80% reduction, we're still on a really potentially catastrophic path towards large numbers of hospitalizations and deaths in the area. So we're doing a good job, but we have to continue to do a good job to keep the transmission slow and to really, really ensure that we're not going to have a crisis in the coming weeks.
So I guess this is a bit of a paradox as far as getting people to continue adhering, because they hear promising numbers and good news, and you know, the temptation might be, well, okay, I could go out a little more. Or, okay, I could be, you know, a little closer to people because it doesn't seem so bad. But it's actually the opposite of that, right?
It's the opposite of that for now. You know, the hope is that if we do a good job and we really slow transmission, that we will get to the point in a few weeks, hopefully, where there's just not a lot of virus spreading in Austin. Right now, we're doing a good job of slowing transmission, but there's still a lot of COVID-19 spreading in Austin. So if we suddenly went back to life as normal, we'd be back to square one. And all those cases right now would start infecting others, and we'd see surges in transmission and hospitalization. So right now, it would be very dangerous for us to suddenly increase the contacts we're having, be less careful.
So how do you react when you hear leaders saying things like they're starting to set up commissions and think about reopening the economy? How do you respond to that?
I think that it is good for there to be commissions with a lot of experts, epidemiologists, economists, social scientists, really thinking hard about how can we get to that point? How can we do it cautiously in a way that's informed by data and science? And so commissions are a good idea. Snap judgments about when and where and how we're going to do it are probably not a good idea.
How do you create models and look ahead at all of this when a lot of it is based on levels of infection and levels of transmission, when we know that testing is a lot lower level than it needs to be and testing is not as widespread as it really should be?
Yeah, it is very hard to know if you're just looking at data on how many cases have been reported, how many cases have been confirmed. It's hard to know how much disease is really out there. We don't know if 1 in 10 cases are being tested, 1 in 5 cases are being tested, or if that proportion is changing through time. And so that makes it very difficult to look at case count data and say, oh, we know how quickly this is spreading, or, oh, we know how effective our social distancing is. So that is why we actually look at hospitalization data instead. Hospitalization data is also not going to be perfect. Not every case that is severe will end up in the hospital, and not every case that is severe in the hospital will be tested and confirmed as COVID-19. Nonetheless, we expect that hospitalization data is going to give us a truer picture of how much severe COVID-19 is out there. And if we have a true picture of how many cases are being hospitalized on a daily basis, we can sort of back out what that means in terms of how quickly it's spreading and how effective our social distancing measures have been in reducing that spread.
We've heard leaders talk about plans, if necessary, for large-scale set up hospitals quickly if we needed to accommodate thousands and thousands of more cases. But it sounds like you're saying if we continue social distancing and staying home as we have been, those would not be necessary?
That is, in a sense, what our recent projections are suggesting, that our social distancing seems to be sufficiently effective, that we are curbing the number of hospitalizations so that it will remain below the estimated capacity for the Austin Round Rock area. But we don't know if that will be true going forward. It will depend on the extent to which people continue to social distance or take other measures to reduce transmission. That said, there are other places where kind of amassing resources and preparing for the future could be very useful, ensuring that we can increase testing capacity and test widely when we enter the phase of really trying to make sure that small clusters of cases don't spread widely. Thinking about how we can better protect our vulnerable populations in nursing homes and long-term care facilities. So there still is a need for thinking about how we prepare, how we use resources to protect our population going forward. But as of now, we're not concerned about hospital capacity in the next couple weeks.
Lauren Ansel Myers is a professor of biology and statistics at UT Austin. You can find links to recent reports out of UT Austin about COVID-19, including a report showing the peak of COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. could be further out than another model predicts, over at KUT.org. Austin Recovery, the nonprofit that's been connecting Austinites with drug and alcohol treatment since 1967, is closing its doors. As KUT's Andrew Weber reports, the provider says it's been struggling financially for some time and that it couldn't continue to pay staff amid the coronavirus pandemic.
Austin Recovery stopped taking clients for its inpatient treatment program on Friday and says it will wind down all of its treatment programs, including its outpatient options, by May 15th. Austin Recovery board member Lynn Sherman says the nonprofit had a promising round of fundraising earlier this year, but the spread of COVID-19 changed that outlook. He says it was clear to the nonprofit's board that it couldn't make it through the pandemic.
We made the very tough decision to go ahead and close rather than having to do it, you know, in the middle of a maelstrom. Where we miss payroll, have no money, and basically have to put people out on the curb. And we just were not willing to do that.
The board notified staff in a letter last week that it would be shutting down those programs for adults, but it will continue its youth programs and its alumni network, which has been organizing online meetings since Austin's shelter-in-place rules went into effect. Andrew Weber, KUT News.
The Texas Democratic Party has launched a new website aimed at making it easier for Texans to register to vote during the COVID-19 pandemic. KUT's Ashley Lopez reports this is part of the party's larger effort to register more than 2 million voters this year.
RegisterTexas.com is designed to make it easier for younger voters, low-income voters, and communities of color to register to vote in the coming months. Because of the coronavirus, in-person registration efforts are on hold. And Texas is one of only 10 states in the country that doesn't have online voter registration for people to use instead. Luke Warford is with the Texas Democratic Party, and he says this website would send folks who provide their information online a filled-out application with a postage-paid envelope that's pre-addressed to their county voter registrar.
We know a lot of folks don't have access to printers. They don't have access to a stamp or an envelope. And a lot of those things are even harder to get in the time of a pandemic.
Warford says all voters will have to do is sign the form and put the envelope in the mail. Ashley Lopez, KUT News.
A new report from the Meadows Mental Health Policy Institute in Texas finds an economic recession could increase the number of mental health and addiction disorders. KUT's Dani Matias has more.
These findings are part of a series of reports the Institute plans to release on the mental health impacts of the coronavirus pandemic. The first report found COVID-19 and mitigation efforts to control the spread, resulting in job losses, could lead to deaths from suicide and overdose. Andy Keller is the Institute's president and CEO.
We need to prepare and make sure that we're ready with the health resources and care options that people need in order to have a different outcome, to be able to get their depression treated successfully and to not develop suicidal thoughts, to not end up dying from suicide.
More than 1 million Texans filed for unemployment relief since mid-March. MMHPI predicts for every 5% annual increase in the state's unemployment rate, an additional 725 Texans could die from suicide and drug overdose each year. Researchers encourage individuals to reach out for help or practice self-care by exercising, maintaining a healthy diet, and connecting with friends and family. Dani Matias, KUT News.
And for more support, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8225. That's 1-800-273-8225. Last month, Texas Governor Greg Abbott deemed all construction in the state essential. But as KUT's Audrey McGlinchey reports, some construction workers fear their health is not.
Unlike many people in Austin right now, for the past few weeks, Kara's husband has been going to work. He's a commercial plumber, so his office is a construction site.
But my husband works on a City of Austin job site. They're currently working on a parking garage.
We're only using Kara's first name and withholding her husband since he's afraid of retaliation. The City of Austin doesn't own the site, but they will when construction's done. It'll be new offices for city employees, plus a parking garage, the one Kara's husband is working on. He says on the job site, he's afraid for his health. As of last week, he says there was no physical distancing, no disinfecting of tools. In an email, a representative for the general contractor told KUT the sites they oversee are following all city and county safety requirements. But Kara says her husband's work still requires him to get really close to people.
He has an apprentice working with him at all times in very close contact, close corners, sometimes in enclosed spaces for long periods of time.
Kara's husband is 27. He's young and would likely have better outcomes if he did get the coronavirus. But he has asthma, and COVID-19 attacks the lungs. Kara's been having what she says are regular panic attacks.
If he does get sick, there's a possibility of, he will be critically ill and be hospitalized and possibly not be able to ever come home again.
A couple of weeks ago, the city and county halted most construction in Austin. Then, at the end of March, as part of a statewide order, Governor Abbott gave the okay for the work to continue. So the city and county responded by putting in place safety requirements, things like disinfecting shared tools between uses, having hand washing stations, checking workers' health before they come onto a job site. Otherwise, as Austin Mayor Steve Adler warns, the spread of COVID-19 could get worse. Here he is broadcasting from home.
The impact that construction has on how well we do as a city is totally dependent on how the construction companies do mitigating the physical interaction between people on the construction site.
To be clear, the city says it's not enforcing its own safety requirements. A city spokesperson says they're focused on education right now, which some industry leaders have already started doing. The Home Builders Association of Austin is asking construction companies to take 10 minutes today to go over precautions with workers. A National Carpenters Union has created an online safety course about COVID-19. But even with this, construction work could still worsen the spread. That's what researchers at the University of Texas think. They estimate that if all non-essential workers in the Austin area stay home, people like me and most of the city, and all construction companies follow the city's safety requirements, there could still be a 9% increase in the number of people hospitalized for COVID-19.
Things were getting so bad for us at home at night. My anxiety over everything, anytime he moved or rolled over, I was putting my hand on him to make sure he didn't have a fever or he wasn't sick.
Kara's husband, who's building that new City of Austin parking garage, started wearing a mask to work, one his grandmother made for him. Then his apprentice, the guy he works really closely with, texted him. He'd been in close contact with someone who tested positive for COVID-19. That's when he and Kara made the call.
At this point, he's staying home now, not getting paid.
But in the construction industry, some people feel they don't have this option. People like this man, Fidel.
Sí, está bien. Dígame,
Fidel is a plumber in Austin. He sends money back to Mexico to support his wife and daughter. He's also undocumented. One 2013 study estimated that nearly half of all construction workers in Texas are undocumented. People like Fidel don't qualify for cash payments from the federal stimulus bill, which he says makes staying home feel like a choice he just can't make.
No hay ninguna protección que yo mire. Estamos muy juntos unos con otros.
Fidel works on a commercial building in Leander. He says there are no gloves, no masks. The men work close to one another, with maybe 3 or 4 feet between them. He says when there is soap, there's only a trickle of water to help you lather and rinse.
Yo siento que en cualquier momento.
I feel like at any moment, Fidel says.
En la construcción puede haber un contagio.
That last part's a little hard to hear, but he says there could be an outbreak in construction. at any moment. On Tuesday, Mayor Adler told KUT he believed people associated with the construction industry had tested positive for COVID-19. In a statement, a spokesperson for Austin Public Health said, quote, "We recognize there may be clusters of cases among workers on construction sites." As for Kara and her husband, she's glad he's home.
I know where we're going and where we've been and who we've been around, and that I'm confident that, you know, I can keep my family healthy at this time.
And while Kara's husband stays home, many construction workers across the city are still on the job. Audrey McGlinchey, KUT News.
Capital Metro frontline employees like bus operators now have priority access to testing for coronavirus. 10 employees have tested positive for the virus so far. A few bus operators have recovered and are back at work. KUT's Samuel King reports that for now, the priority testing only applies to those showing symptoms or who've been exposed to a positive case.
Now, some Capital Metro board members are seeking even more access to testing for employees. President and CEO Randy Clark says the agency hopes to do that once capacity is available.
One of those items is that we do on-site testing, whether it's Central Health or through a private endeavor, that we could get that supply at the right time to move that forward. That is something that we are definitely already thinking about how we would implement that.
The agency has already started temperature checks at its offices and garages. Samuel King, KUT News.
The city of Austin and Travis County are forming a task force to make recommendations on a safe approach to reopening businesses in the area. The city and county are partnering with the Greater Austin Chamber of Commerce, which will lead the effort. Travis County Judge Sarah Eckhart says it's necessary to find ways to adapt and open commerce during the pandemic, but she reiterated that the most important concern is to avoid overloading the capacity of area hospitals.
There's just no getting around the fact that an opening of commerce will increase our infection rate. We cannot afford herd immunity. Herd immunity would mean thousands of deaths in Travis County and the five county region.
Governor Greg Abbott is expected to announce next steps to reopen the state's economy next week. Eckhart expressed concern that the governor may open up business in Texas, quote, too broadly, exposing the area to higher infection rates. The local task force will make recommendations about the safest ways to reopen businesses after May 8th. That's when the current stay-at-home order for Austin and Travis County is set to expire. The start of peak bird migration in Texas began this week. As KUT's Mose Bouchel reports, a new project is underway to figure out how people can help birds avoid crashing into buildings while traveling through the state.
The Cornell Lab of Ornithology is studying the impact of lights out programs that encourage building and homeowners to dim their lights at certain times of the evening during peak migration. The lab's Julia Wang says birds, like insects, can be easily distracted by lights.
And when that happens, they're vulnerable to collisions with buildings around them, or even just becoming exhausted and confused and becoming vulnerable to other urban threats like cats or toxins.
Wang says researchers hope to monitor bird collisions by counting bird deaths and comparing those numbers to satellite images of light pollution to see how lights out programs can make a difference. Though their research is being complicated by the COVID-19 pandemic, she says a study will start in Houston, Dallas, and Fort Worth, but researchers hope the Lights Out program grows statewide and are encouraging everyone to participate.
That was KUT's Mose Bouchel reporting. Zhao Shen is a graduate student from China researching cancer at the University of Texas, at least until the outbreak of COVID-19. As KUT's Jimmy Moss reports, virus concerns and the quest to get his visa renewed have created a semester of learning abroad that he may never forget.
Zhao Shen arrived in Austin 4 years ago to do cancer research. He was giving up a lot for the experience. His wife and newborn son stayed home in China. He also was suspending his ophthalmology practice in hope of advancing a different area of medicine. So it was a big deal when Chen returned to China 3 months ago for the new year. And in addition to seeing family, he would take care of some business along the way, his annual student visa renewal.
So I scheduled a meeting and visa appointment at the U.S. consulate in Shanghai. And I took my interview January 8th. I was doing this try to shorten the time that I have to wait for my visa, because this usually takes a very long time. After I took my interview, I went back home, which is Henan province. It's a province next to Hubei, the epicenter of this outbreak. But by that time, we don't know anything about the COVID-19 yet. So I spent some time with my family, and then all this happened.
Home is Zhengzhou, a city of 10 million, 600 miles northwest of Shanghai, 300 miles north of Wuhan. Then President Donald Trump announced travel restrictions to and from China. Many students in Chen's situation quickly bought tickets back to the U.S. before the ban took effect on February 2nd.
But since I don't have my visa, so I have to stay at home, hoping that the visa can be issued quickly.
But then another turn. The U.S. removed all non-essential personnel from Chinese embassies, putting an indefinite pause on student visa processing in China. But Chen was undaunted, and the closure of all the consulates in one nation is not enough to stop him. After all, there are embassies and consulates in nearly 200 other nations out there.
I've seen people traveling to other places to detour the 14-day restriction. Many of them go to Thailand, and I chose the UAE. That's how I ended up here.
Problem solved, right?
According to the regulations, you cannot step in U.S. soil if you traveled in China in the past 14 days. And the consulate is U.S. soil. So I have to self-quarantine for 2 weeks before I can make an appointment with the consulate. I'm living in a hotel by myself and eating delivery food every day, just waiting.
This was in early March, 6 days into his self-quarantine, before Austin had reported its first case, before local schools shut down for what was then an extended spring break.
Now I'm in some place where there's like a dozen new cases every day. So this does not seem to be a best choice for me.
But at the time, there was still hope. His visa appointment was still on the books at the consulate in Dubai for March 19th. But the next week, days before his appointment, Chen received some not-so-good news.
The United States Embassy in Abu Dhabi and the United States Consulate General in Dubai are canceling routine immigrant and non-immigrant visa appointments. And they are saying that they will resume these services as soon as possible, but unable to provide a specific date at this time.
This was the same message, the same language in Dubai that he got a month prior from the State Department in Shanghai.
Okay, now I'm a gambler and I'm thinking about going to Ethiopia and Burma or Serbia. So those countries, I chose those countries because as a Chinese national, they don't require me to get a visa before I go there.
As he talked, he found news that starting that day, the State Department began canceling visa appointments in those countries. But in other ways, things were looking up. UT Austin's shift to distance learning means Chen is working like most other graduate students in Austin, via computer. Still in Dubai, after nearly a month of Arabic, Indian, and Russian takeout food, things changed at the beginning of April. Not for the better.
It seems that the embassy are closing indefinitely, at least for now. No one knows when will they open, and so no, I'm not going to the U.S. anytime soon.
Which means he'll have to return to China, except...
Yeah, they suspend all the flights, and they've shut down the airport. So there's no way of me going home for now.
Chen is a little less isolated than he was.
So I moved out of my hotel and moved into an Airbnb. I'm sharing the apartment with a friend of mine, so it cut down the cost a little bit. I booked this Airbnb for the whole month of April. So we'll see after that.
And there's a community of Chinese that he's connected with, all trying to get back to colleges and some jobs in the U.S.
I have an online chat group with 68 people stuck in Dubai. All are, all of us are here in the UAE to take the visa interview.
Chen will return to the University of Texas one day, but since it doesn't look like he'll get back to the U.S. anytime soon, he is planning a trip back home to China. He'll get to see his wife and son again, his parents, that, of course, after a two-week quarantine at a hotel. Jimmy Moss, KUT News.
That's KUT Weekend for the fourth weekend of April 2020. You can subscribe to this podcast at weekend.kut.org and email any questions or comments to weekend@kut.org, or you can just ask me on Twitter. I'm at Jerry Quijano. Our theme music is by RAC. Thanks for listening. I'm Jerry Quijano with KUT 90.5 and KUT.org.